Our kind of theme today is from Ephesians. Let's bring that up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, the first part of 24, from the Message. I make that clear. It's not where we usually read from, but I love this rendering. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct, not the other way around, as God accurately reproduces His character in you. That's why we're being led to a fresh embrace of love, because that's God's character being produced in you and released in you outwards. That's exactly what God intends. All right. Let's bring up our spiritual triangle of growth, or whatever we called it. There it is. There. Again, not the pyramid, but this triangle. It's not New Age, right? This is the Bible. And this has been 7 weeks of teaching. And I have loved every second of this with you, and I would teach it again if I had the opportunity. I taught it 10 years ago, and I believe there's a lot of truth and good stuff in here that can be life-changing. What we're going to do today is we're simply going to work from the bottom up with the people we're going to talk to. So I'm going to ask Cheryl Liggins and Bob Ray to come join me up on the platform. Grab your microphone. I'll get this out of the way, and we're going to have a chat about these things. I used to wonder why when I was young, my own pastor used to be so kind of guarded of the pulpit. And why didn't he give other people a chance to preach on a Sunday morning? And I understand that much more fully now, partly because I get one chance a week. I think about you all week long. I pray for you. I laugh with you. I weep with you. I'm called to pastor. I'm called to be a pastor. Ingrid and I are called to pastor, to shepherd people. And you are the people that God has given us to shepherd. And like I say, I get one shot a week to deliver what is on my heart as I have prayed for you. And I guard that sometimes way too selfishly. I want to thank those young pastors who are understudies under me, Pastor Derek, Pastor Mandela, others. I know I hog the pulpit sometimes, but it's because I love these people so much. It's their fault and God's fault for asking me to do this. So that's why. But today, we're going to do something I genuinely love doing, and that is have an interview with two of my best friends and most respected friends in the world. We'll get to know them a little bit because part of their story will come through this. But Cheryl and Bob, thank you for saying yes to doing this. And especially significant, Cheryl's packing to go to camp where she'll be up who knows how long every night with a group of teenagers. And she said yes to this where she probably could be doing something more restful. But I deeply appreciate you saying yes to this. All right. Let's start with our first level on our spiritual growth triangle. And that was, I'm going to have a question from each of those. So salvation we described, starting the journey with Jesus. I think we had a wonderful story just last Sunday. Kimberly raised her hand and accepted the Lord as her Savior. And I know Janice had a wonderful chat with her. God bless you, sweetheart. That's fantastic. Someone just started their life with journey. The journey just has begun. And we have the privilege of walking alongside this wonderful person as they discover what it means to be a Christian, to walk with the Lord. So, Cheryl, let's start with you. And this will be one of the shorter questions, I'm sure, but how and when did you come to know Jesus? What was the experience like for you?
Well, it was just simply me, a little girl. In 1979, we were at the Life Center Foursquare Church, which was at that time on Como Lake Avenue in Coquitlam. And I was six. My Sunday school teacher was Marilyn McBride.
Oh, wow.
And then I had Dave and Pat Davies were my Sunday school teachers back then, yeah, too. So I had a really good start. I raised my hand at 6 years old. I didn't really know what it meant, but who wants to accept Jesus into their heart?
Yeah.
And that was the beginning.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Bob, how about you?
Well, I went to church as a youth or as a little kid for a while, and my parents left the church, and so I wandered aimlessly as a teenager. And I did a lot of hitchhiking, and every time I got picked up when I was 17, 18, and 19, it was Christians. And they would, I would hear the door lock, and I knew I was in for a sermon. So I accepted Christ when I was almost 20 years old, and he has been my faithful friend for 50 years.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Can I get an amen in the house for the faithful friend that Jesus is? Amen and amen. Okay, so now we're saved, we're born again, and we're going to move to the second step, the second level. So we begin to go to church, presumably, and we begin to know some things. We discover some things, and we learn, start to learn God's truth, and we learn to respond to them, or we don't. And that we've talked about that extensively, that sometimes the church experience is simply a conglomeration and a gathering of immense volumes of knowledge about things, but nothing really changes in the life of the person who's receiving all that. So let me ask you that question with regards to know and to do. Do you think the focus of this stage tends to be on oneself, or is it actually on God? Who's doing the learning? How's that learning happening? Is the learning completely self-driven, or is God the author of that learning? Do you understand what we're kind of getting at there? And I assume you do because I sent you these questions last week and you would have asked me if you didn't. So work with me here, all right? Okay. So Bob, what is your experience with
that? Is there a correct answer? Is there a prize for the right answer?
Always.
No, when I became a Christian, I had the great fortune to be involved in a Christian group out at UBC campus. And while God birthed me, and while God has always been the cheerleader and the nurturer, I purposed in my heart to read my Bible, to learn to pray. I started going to church 50 years ago, and I have never, ever left going to church, even in the tough times. I purposed to be involved in the church, purposed to serve in the church, and I purposed to tithe. And all of those things, with God being the cheerleader and God being the one who nurtures, those were building blocks in my faith, in my relationship, in building a relationship with Jesus.
And we've kind of talked about that, that you can have all the knowledge in the world, but there are some practical decisions that go along with that to make them real and active. Because you don't have to. You can go home completely unchanged if you like. You don't have to open your Bible. No one's holding a gun to anyone's head to do so. But it's choices, and the choices that are followed by determination. And it's not perfect all the time. We ebb and flow a little bit because we're human. But Cheryl, what's your perspective on knowing all these things and then getting about the business of doing
them? Well, I had the privilege of growing up in church. So I had no excuse, really. I mean, I was surrounded by going to Sunday school, going to youth group, and so it was being poured into me. I had the responsibility of receiving, but like Bob, I made a choice somewhere along the line as a teenager to open my Bible daily, and that changed everything, because you can come to church or go to youth group and not receive anything at all. You can just show up. It's until you, it's the Monday to Friday, what happens. And yeah, we're gonna talk about walking, you know, the day to day later, but it's the making your what's your part of the friendship with God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a relationship. So the more I've received from God, it's the gap. I haven't had the testimony of I was that person because I was a little girl. I didn't have the dramatic story.
Yeah.
But I saw what the gap that my Lord filled for me. I see what sin yeah. is, and I am a sinner that has been saved by grace. And I see my sin even greater now that I'm closer to God somehow.
Mm. Yeah.
The closer my walk with God, the greater my sin is. Mm. So
yeah. The other part of maturity is that That is absolutely true. The closer we get to God, the more in awe we are, yes, are of His holiness and yes, how far we fall short.
Yes.
But maturity teaches us that we don't stay there, that we press into the friendship and scoot up into His lap because that's where He wants us to be.
You're just overwhelmed in thankfulness,
His
and
love and grace.
In awe.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well said. Stage three was the authentic heart, being what you profess. The question is, was there a time when God impressed on you that He was more concerned about the person you are rather than how much you were doing for Him? And I know the Christian walk well enough to know that there certainly have been times when I would answer that probably in a reverse way to say, yeah, I could ask the question, have there been times when you have tried to prove your worth to God by working as hard as you possibly could, almost to the point of death and exhaustion? And the answer to most Christians is yes, we all have fallen into that trap at some point. How would you respond? Cheryl, do you want to start with that one? That the idea of
Well, that's easy to do when you grow up in the church and you're a people pleaser like I am. And I'm the firstborn in my family, and I'm the good girl, and I never did any wrong, and I'm just naturally that way. And so there's all kinds of opportunities to serve in the church. And so I did everything. Yeah. And sure, I'll do that. And so, and then you get, people are pleased with that. And you think God is pleased with that because yeah, that's your natural response. It was turned on its head one day when I was a full-grown adult with children. I was at my Bible study fellowship class. My teaching leader, Susan Reddy, just said in the midst of the lecture that day, if you never did anything for God, He would still love you as much as wow, He loves you right wow, now, today. Never did anything. You just receive Him, receive His love and
receive
grace.
His love, yeah, yeah.
And never did a thing for Him. The thief on the cross right, never did a thing to serve Jesus. Never did a thing to serve God. And all of a sudden, I felt so at ease. I felt wow, the weight off of me. Ah, I don't have to do anything for God.
It's true. And then once you understand that, then the motivation for the good works we just read,
yes,
it's also scriptural.
It's an act of worship.
Absolutely.
Everything
changed. The motivation
everything
changed.
Everything changes.
Yeah.
Everything I do. I mean, I thought that's what I was doing before, but it really wasn't. Everything I do from that point on, everything I started to do was an act of worship for my King.
Changes.
And
everything.
The pressure was off. I wasn't burning out. I wasn't tired. And it wasn't about me. It was about Him. There was joy in it all of a sudden.
Also gives you the ability to say no if it's not the right
yeah,
fit. Or you
yeah,
it's okay. God's not mad at you. It's all right. Absolutely. Huge, huge point. Absolutely. Bob, how about you?
My thoughts on that were Jesus didn't die for me to become a worker bee. He died because He wanted a relationship with me.
Yeah.
And that really struck me. And throughout my entire Christian life, you know, the Lord has many times guided me and leaded me and gave me the wisdom to say yes or no. Now, there's a fine balance because we are called, as you said, we are called to be a body and body life,
towards good
body
works,
involvement.
Yeah.
But foremost, Jesus died for me because He wanted a relationship with me. And if I am involved in the body of Christ, it's with His strength, His guidance, and as Cheryl has so beautifully said, it becomes an act of worship
yeah,
as we walk with Him in that way.
That may be shocking to you. If you never did another thing for God, He loves you exactly as you are. Yeah. Yeah. That, and some people, that is like Cheryl heard through the first time for someone. Huh. Is that true? It's true. It's absolutely true. You don't earn your way into God's favor. Jesus leads you to his favor. You're a child of God because of Jesus.
Yeah, it's interesting on that. We're all prone to be super busy people. And about 3 years ago, the Lord clearly said to me, clear the table. I was way too busy. And it was just so impactful, very similar to what you went through, where the Lord just says, clear the table. Yeah. Quit doing all the stuff you're doing. Now, he didn't say take a vacation forever, but he said clear the table, and I'm going to redirect you because of his deep love for me, his relationship.
Yeah. And I might add that I've watched in both of your lives a deep understanding of that principle and that truth, that you still serve, and you still serve beautifully, but you serve kind of proactively, you serve selectively where you believe the Lord's leading you to serve. And it's not just that compulsion to please everyone and say yes to everything. So I honor you both for the way that you have processed that. Stage number four is experiencing God, and Bob referenced that a moment ago, and that is developing a friendship with God. How have you developed this friendship with God in your life, Bob? Let's start with you this time.
Day by day. I've developed my relationship with God through my own determination, my heart, to take the steps in a super busy schedule. You know, every one of us is busy. We are either college students or whatever facet in life, or raising kids, or we're grandparents, or whatever. But just step by step by step, seeking Him through the Word of God, learning to pray, being involved in the church, and those have all allowed me to see more and more and more about Jesus. And one of the things that myself personally I've done over the years is I've really focused in on learning the character of God, and to really know how amazing He is. It's that much more easy to fall in love with Him and walk with Him.
Amen. Cheryl, tell us a little bit about your friendship.
I love the word friendship.
Your microphone.
Oh, friend. Hello. Yes. We're not just up here chatting, you and I. It's all of you, too. Okay.
Oh,
hi.
You're...
Hello. You're here, too. Right. So friendship is a great word because friendship is built on trust and consistency, right? A true friend is consistency, and you can trust them to be there. And my friendship with God is built on just that. And we meet every morning with my coffee and my oatmeal in my favorite chair. And even if I'm traveling, I bring my oatmeal in my instant package, and you know.
I trust you leave the chair at home, though.
Yeah, I do. I find a comfy chair somewhere. Even at camp, even at youth camp this week, you'll find me in my cabin with my coffee and my own. So God and I meet, and it's consistent every single morning, whether I'm busy or not. And even with my kids, when they were babies and one of them would wake up at 5 a.m, it's tough when you've got young children, but when your day starts with meeting the God of the universe, things fall into place. Amen. That has to set your day. You can't use busyness as an excuse, or young children, I'm sorry. Everything starts that way. Yeah. I've got three children, and that sets the day, and God's words are life and nourishing, and it, you know, God called it manna for a reason. It's like food for you. It's food for your soul.
And then, amen indeed, and then we have moments when we experience the crisis of faith, which we spoke about a couple weeks ago, and that is developing. Let's go to the next one there, please. Number five, crisis of faith, successfully navigating life's difficulties. That successfully, by the way, doesn't mean quickly or painlessly.
Right.
It means successfully in Jesus, finding a way to get through, even if that thing never leaves in the entirety of your earthly existence. But we're going to successfully navigate where the Lord leads us to health. How have you experienced God in difficult circumstances? And I know both of you well enough and long enough to know that there have been periods in your life when it's hurt. It's been tough. And just because you are a Bible reader and an oatmeal eater and a life happens sometimes, and it's painful. So there's no guarantees, and it's important we say that we don't, kind of like used car salesmen, don't tell you the real mileage on the odometer and don't tell you about the rust in the quarter panels. It's important that we know and we're honest with our Christian family, with our family of faith. There are times when we do everything seemingly, quote unquote, right, and it's still difficult. Heather, you want to comment on that stage of life?
Well, I have the rust in my quarter panels, so. Two things, Terry. When you spoke on this a few weeks ago, one of the things you said partway through the sermon was you gave an example, and I thought, you've just given people here the freedom to argue with God, to be honest with Him about, I am hurt, this isn't right, what's going on? And I felt that was really good. You know, we don't have to feel guilty and sort of, you know, put the stiff upper lip up and not have any feelings and emotions. We can say, God, what is going on? But when I read the question and knew I was going to be up here, I looked back over my life. I've been married for 47 years. We've got 4 kids, a bunch of grandkids, and we both have large families. And I couldn't think initially of any really traumatic events. But as I thought about it more, I thought, like everyone here, Joy, myself, and our family, we've been through a litany of traumatic events, tragic events, sad events, you know, where you're disheartened and you're just going, oh my God, what is going on? But the reason I had forgotten about it so much is Jesus has held my hand.
Wow.
And you know, he's just allowed me to walk through many tough situations. And what happens is the tougher the situation, the tighter his hand is on my hand.
Beautiful. Well said. I told you this was going to be a living sermon. Listen, receive, embrace, determine. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Cheryl? Crisis of faith.
I appreciate that Terry is willing to say that he shakes his fist and he has shaken his fist at God, because that's real life. And when you walk with God your whole life, there will be forks in the road. And I've had forks in the road. And even as someone who accepted Jesus as a child, and I, in university, in the social sciences, you're challenged in, believing, being a Bible believer. And then that was just the beginning. And then I've had, major crisis with my health and been very seriously ill a couple of times in my life and just recovering from the last one. And then just hurts in relationships. And I remember a neighbor across the street, she said to me, you are a Christian and you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't swear, you go to church. Why is this crap happening to you? About some circumstances that were happening to me. And I said, why shouldn't it happen to me? Stuff happens to all of us. And I just said, the Lord is walking me through it.
Yeah.
And He will continue to do so. And she was really mad. She doesn't know God like I do. She was mad that she cares about me. And she was mad that I had to walk through it. And I was mad that I was walking through it too at that time. Yeah. It was hard. And what do we do? We're in a sin-sick world. I love that word that you use. We're in a sin-sick world, and we can't control what happens. But I know that my God will walk through with me, and He gives me the love of my family and friends, my husband. One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 42:3. A bruised reed He will not break. a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And I've been bruised and smoldering, and I felt like I would be just snuffed out at times, but that's a promise that he's not going to allow that to happen.
Amen.
And I felt like, you know, when you've had major surgeries, scars, you have scars, and you're healing. And I remember God giving me a picture of the church. And I felt so broken at that time coming back to church after physical trauma to my body. And my heart was broken at the same time. And God was giving me a picture of people coming in with physical, their heart was, like people with their hearts exposed. Mm-hmm. And, had open heart surgery kind of thing. And, but it was a picture of the condition of our hearts. Some of us were just right out of surgery, just raw. And, you know, what a fresh scar looks like. And really painful still. And some people walking in the door, but you could see the scars, but it had healed over. But every one of the people coming in the doors to the church was scarred. All of us carry scars.
It's a really good show.
And I thought, okay, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
We're walking in
so
together full
That's
of scars.
The body, it's the family.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to 6 very quickly, and then we'll finish off. The last question we'll ask is from stage number 7. Stage, the exchange life, cultivating deep trust and rest in Jesus. Let's go to number 7. To wrap up for the morning. Yeah, a life of adoration, those two kind of link together anyway, one into the blend into the other, realizing and responding to God's profound love. And we'll wrap up with this question: how has God's love impacted your life? Who wants to start? Bob?
In my pursuit of God, His love has become more and more my strength, my direction, my motivation. And I love, the triangle's not up. I love the triangle at the very top is adoration, because I think I believe the goal of every Christian is to enter into that place. I mean, Christ died so we could have a relationship with Him. And He has encouraged us to come into His most holy place and worship Him and adore Him. And I had a little picture of you've seen them at weddings where they have a whole bunch of wine glasses, and then there's another set of wine glasses, and on top, and from the very top one, all the water is pouring from one glass to the next, to the next, to the next. And I thought about that triangle, and I thought, as I learn God's love and to adore Him and to worship Him, then from that, it flows into all the other avenues of my life. It flows into the crises of my life. It flows into the day-to-day struggles of my life. It flows into my service in the church. And it flows into body life, gives me that capacity to love, love, love. So to me, as I grow in the Lord, to learn more about His character and to adore Him and to understand His love is where the real pinnacle all starts from.
Amen.
And it flows down from there.
Amen. Well said. I think you've been to too many Christian weddings. It's supposed to be champagne, not water. But just a thought I had.
Yeah. Well, if you live out in Wanaka or whatever, it's beer.
It's Cheryl, God's love.
Yeah, God's love has healed my heart, beginning to end, and continues to. So it's that He gives me joy, and He fills the spaces of need with Himself. So and He gives me a love for His church and for other people.
Amen.
That I might not have otherwise.
Cheryl, Bob, thank you so much for sharing your journey. It's rich, rich feeding for us. Thank you. Hey, you did bring your Bible. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate that. In conclusion, we're going to leave a question on the screen for you to ponder either today with someone. I encourage you, stir each other up, do this, and ask this question at some point to someone. Maybe it's not right now. Maybe you're really anxious to get to the gym to help Dennis roll the thing out. But at some point, ask someone, how can I help you in your journey with Jesus? What can I do for you? How can I pray with you? Ask someone legitimately. Don't just go home and pretend this never happened. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to ask you next week. Did you ask? I might even make you raise your hands. Did you ask someone, how can I help? That's the church. That's the church. It's not this group of individuals who live completely separate from one another. That's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world looks at it. We do this together. And there's tremendous strength and power in doing that. So finally, remember, if you can give us a bit of time and a little bit of sweat, hopefully no blood, go to the gym right after I dismiss you, meet with Dennis, and he's going to help us figure that thing out. He's practically a genius, so I have a lot of confidence in him. So. Practically. If you have not had a chance, because we didn't do it officially this year, to give something to camp, we budget every year to give something to youth camp to help kids go. Make that right today, and then we'll just go on and we'll report back next week from our kids from camp. Man, I love you guys. Crazy about you. I'm the luckiest man in the world that I was given you to care for. In Jesus' name. God bless you, each and every one. May he fill you with his goodness and overwhelm you with his love and grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Thanks for coming to church.